the name of the values that keep you alive, do not let your vision of man be distorted by the ugly, the cowardly, the mindless, and those who have never achieved his title. Do not lose your knowledge that man's proper estate is an upright posture, an intransigent mind, and a step that travels unlimited roads. Do not let your fire go out, sparked by replacing the spark in the hope the swamps of the approximate are not quite, the not yet, the not at all. The world you desired can be won. It exists. It is real. It is possible. It's yours.
All right, let's do this. Right at 1 minute here, we'll give it a go. Let me just put this on Do Not Disturb.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Well, guys, welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. We're really excited for our episode today. A few quick notes. I just want to apologize for any audio issues in the previous episode, and we haven't had the mics working for this one or the last one, so I apologize for that, but we're working on figuring it all out with some better methods and sources here. So with that being said, we're excited to introduce Mabod Magadam. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, very good.
I got so used to people messing mine up that I try to do well with other people. So I guess you want to do a quick preface for us here, Will, and then maybe you can go into your background in your own words.
Yes, sir. Why don't we just go ahead and have him introduce himself? So yeah, go ahead and give us your little short backstory.
For sure. Well, so I'm with the company Everpedia, which originally set out to be the better version of Wikipedia. We just wanted to make like a better, more modern software to do what Wikipedia does. But then about a year ago, we decided we're going to make one of the elements that makes us better, that we're going to build it on the blockchain. And we're building on EOS. So we're one of the big flagship dApps that's going to launch when EOS launches next month.
Yeah, it's super exciting. I know a lot of people are really, really psyched about it. Jared, who we just, met with and put us in touch, he's been super excited for that. And you guys recently got some publicity on Silicon Valley, is that right?
Well, sort of. It was us and also EOS.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen the episode yet.
But oh, really?
Told that, like, they're basically cribbing elements from our story. Like, the dudes on the show raised 30 million, just like we just raised 30 million. But like, instead of trying to build Everpedia with it, they want to build EOS. Like, basically, their company is pivoting to do what EOS is doing, trying to be a blockchain operating system for the internet.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of what we're doing. Because what's cool is, so we're building the blockchain Wikipedia on EOS. But what's cool is, since we're the first ones, we're kind of building what's going to be the standard code that's going to be used not just for Wikipedia, but for the EOS version of Reddit, the EOS version of YouTube, Facebook. Basically, the plan is to build the whole consumer internet over again on EOS.
Yeah, that's super exciting.
Yeah, I was reading about Everpedia and the blockchain implementation behind it, and one thing I saw was about the IQ tokens and how possession and accumulation of IQ tokens allows you to kind of have a vote in how the protocols are adopted, implemented, instead of it like Bitcoin or Ethereum, where it's basically consensus. If you accept the software and use it, then that's technically a vote. So is that a basic
exactly thing? Yeah, there's so the tokens perform multiple functions. They're the governance, the voting and governance for the system, and they're the value, like, they're the actual value, and then they're also literally hosting the site. So, which is one of the big advantages of EOS that made us decide to build on EOS.
Okay, I really like that idea of having kind of a ledger of transactions, but the transactions are edit histories, right?
Yeah, exactly. And well, also the cool part about it is we're not going to be on any centralized servers. We're going to be on EOS. So that means everyone like literally owns their content. Like, everyone who's creating content literally owns the tokens that are housing that content. B, it means that it's really good for the environment, because instead of our tokens having to burn electricity for no reason to be created, the electricity is actually going to be used to power the site. And then C, perhaps most importantly, it means that we are uncensorable. So there are 20 countries that censor Wikipedia, including China and Iran.
Yeah,
and that's going to be impossible. We're going to be hosted on EOS, which is like a Tor. It's decentralized, so it's impossible unless you want to block the entire internet. It's impossible to censor Everpedia.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. So what really pushed you to get behind Everpedia? Did you have bad experiences with Wikipedia? You know, what did you really see as the flaws in that platform?
Well, I've always been a fan of Wikipedia. Like, you know, my first company is Genius, which is kind of like the Wikipedia for song lyrics.
Yep.
My dream was always actually to have my own Wikipedia page, and then someone made me one and Wikipedia deleted it.
Oh,
because they said that I'm not notable. So that just always kind of irked me. And then Sam, I was giving a talk at UCLA and Sam showed me my Everpedia page. And I was just like, you know, I kind of had a eureka moment. I was like, if I wanted a Wikipedia page so badly and they wouldn't give me one, then there's probably other people too. So that was kind of my motivation for joining the site, is that a Wikipedia page is something I'd always wanted. And then Wikipedia took it away from me, but then Sam gave it to me again with Everpedia.
So is your vision to be, I guess, a bigger and broader Wikipedia with a complete history of edits and changes, so to be more transparent in a sense, but also uncensorable, I guess, is essentially?
Well, I think the coolest part of it is that everyone owns the content that they create. So Larry Sanger, the founder of Wikipedia, actually joined our company about 6 months ago. And we had been in touch with him for a while, but then it was the tokenization that made him decide to join. And he said it's because this is kind of what the idea behind Wikipedia was back in 2001. Like, they decided to build it as a nonprofit, but that's not quite, that's kind of just the best option they had. But really, they were thinking, how cool would it be if we have this collective knowledge platform and then everyone could own the content that they create? So it's kind of like technology with blockchain is finally catching up to Larry Sanger's vision from 2001. And that's what made him decide to join our company as our chief information officer.
Yeah, one description on, I think it was on the GitHub page, the white paper that I saw that I really liked, was a fork of Wikipedia, maybe onto Internet 3.0. I think that was a pretty cool description.
Exactly. So one thing we did about 6 months after we launched the site, we imported all of Wikipedia. So it's kind of like Wikipedia is the starting point for Everpedia. And then we're building on top of what they've already built.
Okay, interesting. So one question I had about the IQ token. So if they have value to them, is it possible to maybe to buy protocol authority and be able to change the network by yourself using money, or is that guarded against?
I am not the biggest expert on how the governance works, but the guys who are building it are very, very smart dudes. What I can tell you about it, so kind of like the version 1.0 of what we're building is Steemit. Like, Steemit was the first site that was like, all right, let's build a collective knowledge platform that's tokenized. But then Steemit has some problems. Like, you know, I'm not really a power user, but it's running into some problems, but it's still successful. But the guy who built Steemit is Dan Larimer, and he's now building EOS. And then we're this big dApp that's going to launch on EOS. So we're kind of working with Larimer to basically build a better protocol than what was behind Steemit. And then we're building it for the EOS Wikipedia, but then there's going to be, like, you know, Steemit was like the blockchain Reddit, but now there's going to be a new EOS Reddit that's kind of be related to how Everpedia works. And there's going to be a Facebook, there's going to be a YouTube, you know, who knows what else. Like, basically the plan is for the whole consumer internet to have a better blockchain rendition built on EOS.
Yeah, we're looking at some projects that we may be interested in integrating that. You know, I think it's an awesome platform. So what would you tell people who think that we don't need a new internet? You know, what are the real positives of EOS? And I guess after that, maybe you could talk a little bit about how your monetization strategy might have changed. You know, are you guys trying to ditch the ad model? Is it moving in that direction where it doesn't need to just rely on donations, but you can find other ways to monetize?
All right. So,
That was a loaded question.
So the first question was, how why we decided to use blockchain.
Yes.
Yeah, and benefits of Internet 3.0.
I think this is what's missing from the Internet. Like, you know, Larry Sanger was thinking about this back in 2001. So everyone has kind of always wanted this to exist, but we just, there's been the Byzantine fault tolerant issue.
Yeah, there's no incentive to fix it. Yeah.
So now that you can do this, you know, so what's really special about the Internet is that a bunch of people can come together and build something of value. But up until now, one person who's like the centralized authority eats up all this value. Like everyone else basically is just creating value for free. And then Mark Zuckerberg just eats up all the value.
Yeah.
He certainly thrives.
All roads lead to Zuck. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because like Zuck has become the enemy of crypto, but he seems to be the only person in Silicon Valley who understands the coming storm. Because like, I don't know if you've heard, but like there's rumors that Facebook's going to buy Coinbase now, and it's getting crazy.
I mean, they just started a blockchain division, so I wonder if that's what that's purpose for.
I mean, I think that's this is really the coming wave, because to this point, up until this point, Silicon Valley has been so focused really on tech as a platform, but not tech as it is integrated with finance. And at the end of the day, you know, whoever controls the purse is the one with the power. So you have all these Wall Street firms. So it's this weird intersection of Wall Street and Silicon Valley, and it seems like the Wall Street guys kind of are figuring out how to adapt a lot quicker than Silicon Valley.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the Silicon Valley firms are slow to move, and I think the reason why Facebook is dominant is Facebook is never slow. Like, look at, for example, how quickly they ate up Snapchat. So now, you know, crypto could potentially be a threat to Facebook, but then maybe Facebook is just going to be able to subsume all of crypto.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good move, especially considering the controversies about their use of data, which I think is actually on the okay side. I mean, I'd prefer them not to use it like that, but I'm the one who signs the terms of service, so I kind of incur that responsibility. Back to Facebook real fast. Is it true that you met Mark Zuckerberg and said something to his face?
Yeah, well, Zuck and I have a long history. Like, he was a big fan of Genius. Mm-hmm. He actually, he would use Genius a lot, and I was talking to him on Facebook about it, and he was very supportive. We got to have dinner with him once, but I ended up making him angry. I tried to make some jokes, and he got really pissed off.
What were the jokes?
I want to recount that if you don't mind. Yeah.
It was a huge disaster. Basically, like, I was trying to recreate a rap beef. Like, I was trying to joke like we're having a rap beef.
I see. Okay.
But people took it very seriously. But
like a rap battle?
He's the reason I got into the internet. You know, like the thing that made me really go full time on Genius, which is my first site, was seeing the movie The Social Network, and I just thought it was a really inspiring movie. And also, I was one of the first users of Facebook. I think I was like user number 90,000 of Facebook or something.
Yeah, that's early.
That's kind of what got me into, like, I started blogging and I started like being really obsessed with my online persona and stuff.
Do you still find time to write poetry?
No. I hung up my poetry hat several years ago. Nowadays, I'm just writing wikis.
Gotcha. Well, that's arguably more beneficial for the short run.
It can be more poetic, like with a wiki. It's funny because so everything needs to be cited. So you'd think right. That makes it more scientific. Like Wikipedia, for example, the articles sound very scientific, but with Everpedia, I try to make it a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I really like that idea to have more of a hierarchical structure of citations with like varying credibility. So that's pretty good. Do you still? What about piano? Do you still play piano?
Yeah, of course. No, that's, you know, piano is my big passion.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So you've been playing since you were 15, I think I saw. Is that true?
Yeah, we're just going through your Everpedia here for anyone who can't find.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, one thing that I'm proud of on my Everpedia page is I should update it. I've got a bunch of videos of me playing piano.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I'm hoping that people who like think that I'm a terrible person, if they go on my Everpedia page, they'll see me doing something nice and maybe they'll have more sympathy.
So could you like quickly go over why people might think you're a terrible person. We'd love to hear more about that from your side of the story, because we just kind of read some articles.
From our perspective, it makes you,
we think you're pretty bold. For, you know,
oh, thanks,
that's
man.
Exactly why we do what you're we like do. It's,
well, that you know, the crypto community is like, they're my saviors.
Yeah.
They're the people who, they stuck with me.
Yeah.
I got into a lot of trouble with Silicon Valley towards the end of my time at Genius, because Genius was like a big, heavily funded Silicon Valley firm, the top VCs. And I would like do all of this loudmouth ass shit, which is what it started Genius blowing up. But then once we raised institutional money, it was just kind of pissing them off. So I left on bad terms. And then also I had a brain tumor 6 months before I left. So that also made me not the most convivial person, and I left on pretty bad terms. So I definitely was not planning on ever starting another company. I thought that I'm just going to be taking an early retirement. Yeah. And then the only reason I got into Everpedia was because, like I'm saying, it kind of spoke to me. Like this guy, Sam, who's the president of the company, was scratching my itch. He was giving me something that I'd always wanted.
So
how was my own wiki page.
Yeah, you got it. So how was the experience different from raising an ICO to being in a company that's raised VC money? Because we've taken VC money before. We probably had similar experiences to you, but what was your experience?
Well, we didn't ICO. We actually took VC money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
We're doing the first airdrop on EOS. So EOS has a VC, which gave us the money, and then everyone who holds EOS gets our tokens for free.
Got you. Okay.
In June.
Okay.
It's kind of in between.
Yeah, so what was the decision to do the airdrop instead of the ICO? Do you know why?
I think it just makes a lot of sense. I think it's not like we're going to be the only one. EOS is planning to basically revolutionize capitalism. Like the people who are behind EOS are the most successful crypto investors, the most successful crypto developers. So they really just want to take it to the next level. Like they want to take everything that this token does to the next level. So,
yeah, no, I mean, we actually have a guest coming on next couple of days that's airdropping a token the same exact way. So it's becoming much more common, which I think is interesting. It's kind of evolving into something different.
So
hundreds of thousands of people already hold EOS, and then in June they're automatically going to become holders of IQ. So we think that's just going to build us a huge community. It's like this huge built-in community that has an incentive to participate on the site. So we're already starting to see it happen. It's just picking up steam right now.
And so you were, I mean, you've sort of been in the crypto space for a while now. Is that right? Were you, did you invest in Coinbase? Is that right?
Yeah, I was an angel investor in Coinbase and early Bitcoin guru, even though it didn't really turn into what I was expecting it to turn into, but it still has become something really cool. So I was right about that. I was right about it for the wrong reasons, I guess.
So what were you expecting it to turn into?
Well, I mean, we're still going to, for one thing, I didn't know that there's going to be other coins. Like when I was writing about it, there was only Bitcoin. And I thought for sure Bitcoin's going to be it. I thought like whatever there is to build, they're just going to build it on Bitcoin. But obviously that's not what happened. Like, you know, Ethereum was just this huge thing that Bitcoin couldn't replicate. And then EOS seems to me to be the third coming.
Right. The evolution of Ethereum, perhaps, or...
Yeah, I'd say those are the big three. You know, like Bitcoin is blockchain, Ethereum is smart contracts, and EOS is a blockchain operating system.
Okay, interesting.
So when you're talking about like an uncensorable platform, is there any worry that people are going to come on and post things that are going to sort of drag your brand through the mud just because of, you know, the way things are reported? They seem, you know, hell-bent on taking anyone out. Is that something you guys are worried about, or just sort of seeing, you know, saying we're gonna let it play out however it plays out?
Well, we're pretty strict. Like at this point the community is growing, but especially when someone first joins, we're pretty strict. So especially right now, we still want to keep it pretty scholarly. And like Everpedia has only one rule, but it's a pretty important rule, which is that everything on the site needs to come from somewhere else on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone says, like, you know, what if you go and write a blog post that's full of lies and then you cite the blog post? But, like, we're keeping, you know, it's all being looked over by human eyes at this point, and we want to keep the integrity of the site. So if we smell a bad actor, we're not going to let them just go nuts, obviously.
So would it implement a similar system as Google, where they have kind of like a web crawler that goes in and finds all the references and sources inside of a web page and ranks it based on the number of connections it has to the internet? Would it be something like that?
Maybe someday, yeah. I mean, so like Wikipedia actually is already automated way more than a lot of people expect it to be. And like someday Everpedia is going to have a ton of bots and crawlers, but at this point, we're just still trying to keep it with, like, humans running the show.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And I think the scraping and bots and more algorithmic stuff will come after the site is already, like, you know, top 100 sites in the world.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I definitely think that a lot of people overplay the decentralized role of blockchain. I think it definitely has to be centralized at the very beginning. It can only be decentralized as it grows, in my opinion. So I think that's taken a good strategy.
So, yeah, blockchain is a tool. Like, I mean, I don't even know, because like I'm saying, I'm not really the tech person.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what it's going to be like. But I think it's just going to be a tool. Like, I think even if we didn't have blockchain, Everpedia would be huge, because the world needs a new Wikipedia. Like, it's time. It's been since 2001, the same site's been there. So someone needs to give it another shot.
Yeah,
but then blockchain is just going to be a really, really valuable tool, both for the governance and all that stuff, and also just for building the community. Like, the cool thing right now is there's all of these blockchain addicts who hold EOS. Who are now becoming Everpedia addicts too.
Yeah, it's almost like an open source platform where everyone can crowdsource their their independent ideas and build something. You know?
I mean,
The crypto community, what's cool is it has like a unifying philosophy to it, which Silicon Valley never really did. And I think like a lot of that comes from like Burning Man and stuff. Like, I've never been to Burning Man, but whenever you go to like a crypto meetup or something, everyone is just so congenial and so chill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the ice is already broken because everybody loves the technology. They're in it for one reason. I think one of my favorite parts of this technology of Everpedia is the idea of having is kind of observing how quickly people transition onto new forms and new protocols. And so the fact that there's some sort of system that manages that is really, really cool to me, because I mean, things are just so slow when you're transitioning on the web 2.0 right now. I mean, just switching from HTTP to HTTP2, it's taken like 3-4 years, even though it's like monumentally better. So I like this idea. I mean, I think that's a good vision that can have, you know, a lot of good ramifications in the future.
So are there any other platforms where you think sort of the same model would be really effective? Is your plan to just stick with Everpedia, or are you guys planning to, you know, cast a wider net, if you will?
I think what we're working on is going to be used for a lot of dApps, because we're kind of laying the groundwork for what it's going to look like to build these big dApps on EOS. And like I'm saying, I think right now Larimer is already working on the EOS Reddit. That's kind of his specialty, because he built Steemit. Other one that I think is a no-brainer is YouTube. Like, nothing needs to go on the blockchain more than YouTube.
Well, that'd be a pretty massive undertaking.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a lot of work. I don't have any of like the actual info, but I'm sure there's a lot of work being put into the EOS YouTube right now.
Yeah.
So what would you say your main role is in at Everpedia? Like, what's your vision that you're trying to effectuate in the company?
I'm just making pages. Like, you know, I do other stuff too. Like, right now you guys are letting me do the podcast and hopefully like let people know about the site.
Yeah,
but definitely.
My main thing is just making pages. Like, you know, the motto of Everpedia is every proper noun. Like, you know, Wikipedia said I'm not allowed to have a page, but I want a page, and I also want everything that's on the internet, everything that's on Google, to have an encyclopedia page. So once you get into that mentality, just like everywhere you're looking on the internet, you're like, you know, this person needs a Wikipedia page, that person, this company needs a Wikipedia page. So
Is there sort of an order you're going in? Are you picking?
Yeah, what are the sort of pages that you're writing?
There are themes. Like, so one thing that's not shouldn't be too surprising is that hip hop is a huge part of the site. Because, like, you know, my first site was Rap Genius.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of the community to come over. So like any hot rapper is going to get a Everpedia page, and then everyone is searching for the rapper's Wikipedia. And, you know, Wikipedia has some problems with like discrimination and stuff too. So like, if you're a rapper, chances are you're a minority. So that makes it harder to get a Wikipedia page.
Really? Yeah. I was reading about your time at Rap Genius, and it seems like Everpedia is almost like the perfect evolution of what you were wanting to do there, because
it is. It seems it was Rap Genius inspired. Like, the reason why Sam built this is Sam was basically like, why is there this really, really awesome Wikipedia for rap lyrics, but then the Wikipedia that's like for everything is from 2001?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Plus the way they manufacture your departure there. I mean, the idea that you were just doing what was in line with the mission of the site and annotating that document, you're just trying to provide meaning. I think that was the purpose of the site. And I think it's probably a good idea that happens so you could start this much better project and definitely touch a lot
of it. Yeah, no, well, it's exciting stuff. And also, you know, I thought when I left the other company, I was basically like a ruined man. So I never thought anyone would give me another chance.
Yeah.
And we came into this. At first, I met my founders who were like, you know, we still think you're a really cool guy. And then we met these investors who are like, you know what? Everyone else thinks you're weird, but we think you're like kind of quirky.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
That's the best.
So it's been like a dream come true, really.
Yeah, I feel like crypto has given that to a lot of people. All the people we've met really, you know, just sort of stumbled into it, but they're, you know, just so happy with where they are because it naturally attracts all the right people, I think. So
one thing that's a lot of fun about the site is also just making wiki pages for everything connected to my life. Because, like, I've kind of always wanted to do this, like, just chronicle the things that are close to me. Like, so, for example, when my dad passed away, I put like a lot of work into his wiki page. Like, I really wanted it to say the whole story of his life.
Yeah.
And it just gave me so much closure. I thought it was like such a good experience. And I was like, wow, someday everyone's going to be doing this. And then like the other thing I thought was really cool about it, I was like, my grandkids are going to be reading my dad's wiki and they're going to know everything about it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's very comparable. They used to, you know, essentially put that in the local newspaper and ship it around town and everyone would see it for a day. But, you know, now that's not the case. Everyone lives all over the world. So, yeah, I mean, that absolutely makes sense to me. And I, you know, went through something very similar. So I totally understand that. That's.
Yeah, it just seems to me like it's the next part of Google. Like another nickname that we use for Everpedia is we call it the man-made Google. So right now we live in a world where people are Googling everything. And like, one reason I wanted a Wikipedia, especially after I left Genius, like when you Google my name, Google does not present me in a flattering light, you know, like shows the bad news for this.
They're the filter on everyone's eyes.
Yeah. So it's like, you can have this machine that presents the information in a very dry, artificial, robotic way, or you can have people present the information. So our plan is basically to make an encyclopedia article about everything that people Google.
Yeah, it seems like Google just takes snapshots from all the worst and best times of your life and throws them on the internet, and that's not typically an accurate depiction of a person.
Yeah, and you know, one of the most searched words on Google is the word wiki.
Yeah.
So everyone is constantly searching for Wikipedia pages for stuff that doesn't exist. And then there's these like really, really shitty sites that aren't even wiki sites that just try to use the SEO game to win that traffic. Like, there's this site called Famous Birthdays, which, like, you know, it wins when people search like the wiki page for social media stars, they usually end up on Famous Birthdays. So
yeah, it seems like a really good distinction between Everpedia and Wikipedia, and that Wikipedia is almost like its credibility is kind of predicated on everybody serving as the editors, but also there's no bias. But when you lose bias in some information, you kind of lose a lot of information alongside it. So I like the idea of bringing the source of the information more local.
Yeah, you could almost have, you know, differing opinions. I think that's really interesting. You could have as someone who loves a person, someone who hates a person.
Yeah, the biggest problem with Wikipedia is there's around 10,000 editors.
Yeah.
So
they tend to have their
plan for this is to have millions of editors someday.
And do you think it'll ever get to the point where, so when you know, every one of us has probably written 1,000 papers for college, and Wiki is right there. It's so so damn convenient, and yet you can never use it to cite material. Do you hope to get to a point where, like, Everpedia can be used as a citation?
Yeah, well, so, well, it doesn't even have to be. So the thing about Wikipedia, like, you use it for papers, you don't say that you got it from Wikipedia.
But yeah, right. You find the next source, yeah.
Yeah, so Everpedia's collection of sources, I think, is even more valuable than Wikipedia's, because so Wikipedia might, like, just cite some book, and there's no way that you can even verify it. It's kind of weird. It's like Wikipedia is the internet encyclopedia, but because it was built in 2001, it is still predicated on a print-based world.
Yeah.
So we're the first ones who are actually building an internet encyclopedia that's based on the internet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can count on zero hands how many times I actually checked out a book at the library that I found online to use as a source. Yeah. It's like, no one's doing that. That's not how people write papers anymore. So that definitely makes sense to me. It is just sort of outdated. We're using all these books, but at the same time, there's so much material out there. It's so difficult to comb through it. Anytime you're, you know, trying to aggregate all of the material, it's a nightmare because you're fighting against Google search results, which aren't necessarily ranked on, you know, correctness or range of results. It's more just based on popularity, which really isn't always correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It accumulates to authority over time. The more time you visit it, the more credible it looks.
Yeah, exactly. Just the oldest, not necessarily the best sometimes.
Right. So segueing back to the rap stuff, so you said you write a lot of wiki entries about rappers. So who would you recommend? Who's your top couple rappers, would you say?
Well, the top highest traffic page in Everpedia history is Cardi B.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Consensus. And
she now has a Wikipedia, but it's still not nearly as good as her Everpedia.
I believe
also it. Also, she contributed information to her Everpedia too. So she didn't actually officially get a verified account, but it kind of speaks to what we think is another advantage, which is that we offer celebrities verified accounts. So the rule on Wikipedia is celebrities aren't even allowed to edit their own pages.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of them find frustrating. Like, we actually talked to Snoop Dogg about this.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg is pissed that he can't edit his Wikipedia.
Yeah, imagine. But, that. I mean, that can be really harmful to reputation if something untrue is on there.
Yeah, also, what if you just want to add more? You know, what if you don't have any, like, huge objection? But we have verified accounts. So the celebrity can edit it, and then you can see which information the celebrity added. So that way, it's chill with the credibility, and then it also makes it a little bit more like Instagram, you know, like the celebrity can kind of use their encyclopedia article as a way to communicate with fans.
So what kind of verification is it? Is it kind of like Twitter, where Twitter controls it and you apply to them and they're the ones who control it? Or is it just tying to, like, authenticate identity?
Are we famous enough to get verified? I think this is quite...
Yeah, so is it associated
Is it just your friends?
Listen, we'll hook you up. We'll hook you up. Yeah. So right now we've been pretty chill because we don't have, like, any... I mean, you know, probably our most famous person right now is Larry.
Yeah.
But eventually we think it's going to be like Instagram. We want every celebrity to be on this, and it'll be like the Wikipedia version of Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we can find you some people. Our next project is going to involve a lot of celebrities, I think. So,
You got a blue check mark, you know, blue check mark on your wiki.
Yeah. It makes you feel pretty legit. We'll get in early while it's not that hard. Yeah. That's the key, really.
So
how was your experience at, you know, Stanford and Yale? Was that sort of what got you into starting Rap Genius? Was there an experience there, or you don't think it really had an effect?
Yeah, well, Stanford, for sure. It was cool to be in the birthplace of all this stuff. And then what's interesting is with Rap Genius, we started in New York, and the company's based in New York. But the first investment was Y Combinator. So
okay.
I kind of got to take my New York homies. Like, the whole time we were in Y Combinator, we were going to the Stanford gym.
Yeah.
And we never paid. Like, every single day, I would just use my student ID to go in, and then I would sneak the two other guys in.
There you go.
That's awesome. And did you do study abroad in France, or what were you doing there?
I did a Fulbright in France in between undergrad and law school.
I'm not familiar with that. What is that?
It's kind of like the U.S. government gives you money to just go and, like, study, like, research. Most people who do it end up going to do grad school or something.
Yeah, that's pretty prestigious. Pretty, yeah, I know what it is. That's impressive.
It sounds pretty cool. But I was studying Islam, so not super internet connected, but I guess that's when that's when I got on Facebook, and I guess part of the reason I got so into Facebook is because I was away from France, so I was using Facebook to keep in touch with friends, and uh-huh. I became addicted to Facebook like as soon as it came out.
So I guess when you were there, did you sort of rub shoulders with a bunch of entrepreneurs? Were there like other companies that were around while you were there?
Where in
at Stanford, I guess. Is there anything that's still around that you were around?
Let's see. No, actually, well, so it's funny. Even though Stanford is like known as the big techie school, it was more my Yale classmates who have done well in Silicon Valley. Like I was classmates with Justin Kahn, who launched Twitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mike Seibel, who's the CEO of Y Combinator.
Wow.
Who else? We had the founder of Airbnb was in our class. The founder of Pinterest was in our class.
Yeah, that's no joke.
So you seem to be pretty connected. Have you heard any rumors of any other Silicon Valley big names applying blockchain technology to their services or platforms?
I've been shocked by how unreceptive. Like, so I went to demo day, the last batch, and blockchain was. It seemed kind of like blockchain was a bad word. Like everyone was talking about.
I think we put in an app and we didn't hear much back.
Yeah, people were talking about blockchain. Like, if you're talking about blockchain, it's a scam. So that was kind of off-putting. That made me sad. But then you hear stuff like what Zuck did today, and that's really impressive. You know, like Zuck is known as public enemy number one of Silicon Valley. But yeah. He's actually the most open-minded guy, you know, like he's been showing, I think he's the one guy who's smart enough that he just totally understands the blockchain is going to take over everything. So,
yeah, it's kind of lamentable that he's just kind of like, I mean, doesn't look like he has a mean bone in his body, but all this weight of the whole election and all this culpability is laid on his shoulders. And he's supposed to be responsible for all the evil in the world now. I think it's really sad. And he doesn't really seem like he has a public persona to kind of diffuse that sort of image.
Yeah, I think he really just needs to be my friend. You know, like before we became enemies, I really tried to be his friend. And
you could have helped him out a lot.
He really needs me, you know, because it looks like he's obviously a very smart guy, but I think I can help a little bit with the human side of things.
So yeah.
Hopefully someday we can squash the beef.
Exactly. I mean, there's so fewer memes on the internet that describe him as
human. That's why they're working so hard on AI over there. He's pumping all the money.
Yeah. He's got that personal AI that's kind
of jarvis. Yeah, he's a little, like it's a little glitchy voice. Still.
Yeah, it's a little creepy, but he's only got good intentions. But that's pretty interesting. You have anything else, Bert?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess... So where do you see yourself going forward? What's, you know, sort of the evolution of this that you really hope is going to play out? And, you know, what things do you find most interesting about the future of the industry?
Well, it would be really cool if Everpedia becomes the encyclopedia of the internet. Like, I think the sky is the limit with EOS. And, you know, like I'm saying, like Silicon Valley, the place, the Silicon Valley, the industry has been not super receptive, but on Silicon Valley, the TV show, it's now about EOS. Yeah. So it
seems like
people
now
are starting to figure out, and just the fact that there's so much pop culture fascination with crypto, I don't think that's by accident. That's because people look in this, and even people who are not so sophisticated, they're like, this makes sense. You know, like if the internet has made some people have like hundreds of billions of dollars, then there's something broken about it. There's got to be a way where that wealth is more redistributed.
Yeah, exactly. Just by making the whole process more efficient, because at scale, you can accumulate so much money, but that's only if you're in between the customer and the value that's coming of it. So if you can decentralize that to the point where everyone gets the value without the cost, I'm hoping.
Yeah, and culturally, it's just a perfect time right now. Like the same time that this technology is blooming is when people seem to be fed up with some of the side effects of the centralized internet, including the privacy and data manipulation and that stuff, and the political manipulation. So
do you think you can go through what you think of net neutrality, if you don't mind? I think I understand it, but I don't know if I understand it perfectly, because it seems like it's so divided, but I never really hear a full story of it. Do you?
I don't fully understand. As the one intelligent thing that was said to me about it is that there isn't going to be net neutrality. So really, they're just arguing over extremes, and it seems like the argument seems to be between Google and Verizon.
Yeah,
like, you know, at the end of the day, fun,
most of them. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
So I don't think I have too strong of an opinion. Like I used to. I know, you know, Larry Lessig was probably like my best law professor, and I know he's a big net neutrality guy, so I support it, but I kind of just support it because he's telling me to. It's not like it's definitely not the most important thing to me, right?
Is there any worry about things like GDPR? Like, are some of these regulations on your guys' radar, or do you think the way the platform is built, you're not gonna have to worry about being held accountable to most of the standards?
Well, so we did the airdrop, so we're not an ICO.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's the whole security versus utility token debate.
Yeah.
We're as utility as you can get. It's like actually being used to run a knowledge.
Yeah. Map. Yeah.
But let's see how that plays out. I think there's definitely going to, I think crypto is unstoppable. So we just got to figure out the legal framework. Just like when Uber and Lyft came out, people were like, wait, is this legal? What's going on? And then we just have to figure it out. So
yeah,
with crypto, it's going to be the same as Uber and Lyft. It's this huge value add to society. So we're just going to figure out how it's going to work.
Exactly. So you studied law at Stanford, right? So what do you see this kind of regulatory environment heading toward for crypto and I guess Uber and Lyft and all technology in general that's kind of burgeoning as we stumble forward?
So on the utility token security thing, I definitely see the argument of why all these tokens are securities. Because I mean, come on, it's the sum of all the tokens is the company. So that means it's a security, in my opinion.
Okay.
But then again, I also I've always kind of been critical of securities law. I think that's another thing. Like, you know, Wikipedia is from 2001, but the securities laws are from 1934. So.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen? I think tokens could definitely change securities law a lot, but not just tokens. You know, like one thing that I think was a huge breakthrough for securities was Robinhood.
Yeah.
The
fact that you can go on your phone and like Tinder trade stocks.
Yeah,
makes
exactly.
It like, and then you go into the 1934 Act and you're reading about like what makes an investor sophisticated. And it's like, you know, maybe now we're all a little bit more sophisticated. So we got to figure out what's going to happen. Like, you know, the Regulation C crowdfunding, I thought was really good legislation.
Yeah.
I think that's a great first step. And we actually raised money. We, before we did any of the token stuff, we raised 130K Regulation C crowdfunding on WeFunder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that process fairly easy? Like, was there?
It was cool. It was cool. And like, let's see how crypto is going to too.
Do you think
just the beginnings of it? But I think basically what I think crypto is going to do is it's going to make us as a society have to rethink securities laws. And I think it's definitely time. Like, you know, the 1934 Act is from 1934.
Yeah.
The Sarbanes-Oxley Act in 2002 screwed a lot of shit up. So like things are not that, like there's a reason why there's not IPOs and stuff. And it's because the laws are screwed up. So hopefully crypto will make us be able to revisit and improve the entire framework.
Do you think companies might change if there's a more decentralized investor base? So if more companies are done on a more, I guess, ICO basis and they have, you know, securities spread out across the world and everyone has, you know, voting rights to a certain degree, do you think that's going to change the way companies operate, or do you think it's always going to be, you know, big hedge funds eating up big positions? And
no, I think you know, it's still we're always going to live in a stratified world. Like, you know, class and divisions don't disappear, but I think technology is progressively making the world more egalitarian and giving more equality of opportunity. So like, you know, the internet made it so much easier to start a business. And now you have this whole startup culture. And, you know, that's how I was able to make my career. And my parents came to America with nothing.
Yeah.
So I think crypto is going to do that even more. I think it's definitely one the main reason why I'm so excited about it is I think it's a technology that's going to make the world a much more level playing field.
I agree. Yeah, I think that crypto is like definitely bigger, but at least as big as the idea of app stores, where it had kind of had that transition from computers and desktops to mobile phones, so you can do the same stuff. And I think that we're really heading in that direction. I'm glad that we're at least on the precipice of this wave, because I feel like I missed the app store wave. I made a lot of money if I started.
No, we were talking in the office the other day, like no one makes apps anymore. Every talented developer is just working on crypto now. So
yeah, it's been a complete change in the market.
Yeah, exactly. I used to work making apps, basically manufacturing them for a company. And I'm just really glad that I got bored doing that.
Yeah.
I started to, pursuing this, because yeah, it's definitely a requirement going forward for developers.
Yeah,
moving to this new age, I think that not everything has applications for the blockchain, but the things that do, you know, are definitely going to stand to benefit from them, such as a Wikipedia.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are just trying to attach anything to blockchain, and that was something we encountered all over the place with people trying to send us contracts for development work for just you know, the blockchain of this, the blockchain of that, and they just want to add it to, you know, they want to press, they're essentially paying for a press release that leads to a stock bump at the end of the day.
Yes, I hope it doesn't turn into like the cloud where everybody just uses that word.
Yeah.
Well, the other one that I really want to see is Genius on the blockchain. Tokenized Genius, I think, could be crazy. So
how would you structure that similarly?
Same, exactly the same. Yeah, that's a huge knowledge site. And then it's kind of a sexy knowledge site with celebrities involved.
So for Genius, how it stands now, or at least when you were there, do people come and edit and they add their own interpretations of lyrics, or do the content creators have the opportunity to go and change or add whatever they see fit?
The wiki part is still there, but these days a big, big part of Genius is just the musicians themselves telling you what their lyrics
are. Yeah, I love it, because I've used this site a lot, and I definitely found it useful.
Especially as they become less audible.
I've always been really into verified accounts. That's another thing. Like, I always wanted a Wikipedia page and they wouldn't give me one. And the other thing I always wanted was just to be verified, either on Twitter or Instagram or something. And no one will give it to me. So.
Well, now you've got
to create it yourself. That's the best award.
Yeah, exactly. If you can't find it, build it at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean... So I guess one question I have is sort of the incentive system. I guess I'm trying to think of how this sort of correlates with, you know, news and information being, you know, true or fake, or, you know, how do you really figure out what is true and what is not? Is it at the end of the day majority opinion or just trusted opinions? I mean, I guess we kind of went into this before.
It's definitely not going to be just majority.
Yeah.
Like the one question everyone asks is like, what if North Korea buys all the tokens?
And, yeah.
but they are figuring it out. These guys who are working on it for us are, I think, the best at it right now, because they're working with Dan Larimer, who built like the only legit blockchain thing.
Yeah.
And then our developers, they're just amazing. They're so smart. And they're so into blockchain. Like Sam, actually, the president of the company, he paid his way through college by using the dorm electricity to mine Bitcoin.
Really?
he's been mining Bitcoin since 2013.
Yeah, I think that's about when we got into it. We almost bought a miner, but it was a good thing because it was a scam. Some of those sites were just taking tons of Bitcoin because they used to be pre-orders. So people would pre-order them like 6 months ahead of time and pay like $10,000. And then the site would go down and it would disappear.
Yeah, I certainly did not have any foresight. I mean, I dabbled in it because I thought it was cool, but I'm not going to credit myself with the knowledge that it was going to blow up to what it is now, which is really cool that, you know, something can just happen like that. It seems like it happened overnight almost when recently. I mean, clearly it wasn't. Like it had been developed and applied earlier, but I guess Wall Street is on crack and they got a hold of it.
Yeah, we always believed, everyone in the company. We never thought Everpedia would have anything to do with tokens, but we were always obsessed with Bitcoin and blockchain. And then when we first heard about ICOs, I didn't know what an ICO was. I thought an ICO was just going to be an unregulated version of an IPO.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly.
So I was like, hey, we should ICO. And we started talking about it. And at the time, we didn't even know what that means. But then we started thinking about it and we're like, hey, actually, this could be really cool. So
that's funny. Yeah. When I first heard it, I thought, was that mean like initial corporate offering? Like, what's going on there? Yeah. Like, yes, yeah, it's a completely different thing. I still don't personally understand all the specs of
so
it.
So how do you think you guys differentiated your ICO from all the scammy ones that everyone falls into? Because it seems like everyone's always trying to figure out what's legit and what's not.
Well, we did the airdrop.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
you did but that. What differentiates us from a lot of the ICOs that you know were that failed last year is that nearly every blockchain app is launching from scratch. They're raising money to build something that hasn't even built yet.
Yeah.
And like, as an angel investor, I will never invest in something that's just an idea. I need to see traction. I need to see an MVP. I need to see proof of concept. And that's what Everpedia has. Like, Everpedia is already one of the 2,000 biggest sites in the US.
Wow. That's crazy. Wow, that's definitely something I've noticed. Everyone is full of ideas and beautiful graphics and nice, you know, great logos, but not a lot of people actually built anything. So yeah, sort of when we started, our whole idea was to ICO more like at the point of an IPO, because I think at the end of the day, you're going to make a whole lot more, you know, and really the age of using them for crowdfunding, I think, is essentially over, but no one has really done, I think, a proper ICO after they put out, you know, good products, especially in the crypto field. I mean, Binance, I guess. But even Binance, I think a lot of their UI and stuff is pretty terrible.
Mm-hmm. What's the big difference between airdrop and ICO?
It's essentially...
So like one's like a cash in.
So we actually got our money from a VC. It's Galaxy Digital Investments is the Block One VC.
Okay.
But then, they bought equity with the money, but then the equity really is just the tokens that the company still owns.
I see.
So there's equity and there's tokens, but it still all boils down to tokens. And then an allotted percentage of the tokens are going to get airdropped for free to all, I think like there's about 300,000 EOS holders.
I see. Okay.
So on January 2nd, they're all going to get their EOS. And then 2 weeks later, June 2nd, they're going to get their EOS. And then 2 weeks later, they're going to get their IQ.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I'm excited to see this.
Yeah.
It's in the future of this company.
We're certainly excited. We'll put out an article for you guys for sure. And we'll try and. We'll try and make some pages. We'll try and get our guests to put up some pages.
Yeah, well, no, you gentlemen need wiki pages too. So you get on that for sure.
Oh, yeah, we'll put them up. No, that's super exciting. Is there anything else you maybe wanted to get to or mention? Or
I'm an easy person to get a hold of. I just want anyone, if anyone hears this and they think this is something I want to be a part of, hit me up on Facebook or Twitter or Telegram and join us. You know, it's so much fun just making wiki pages for all of your family or for your grandparents.
Yeah.
It'd be such a fun experience.
And you guys are based out of LA, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Our office is right by UCLA.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. Yeah. Will and I are in LA as well. So
yeah, and just I'm using the site right now. I just love the everything's so much better than Wikipedia. You've got the hierarchy on the left. And
oh yeah,
even
it's
the
much
fonts,
cleaner.
Fonts better. So this is an endorsement.
Yeah, yeah, we're standing
having down. Videos and GIFs and stuff. Just that alone makes such a difference. So
do you guys have any?
There's a lot there, but blockchain is a big, big part of it too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So
yeah,
yeah.
With that, if all the listeners out there, if you want to check out the site, we definitely recommend that you do.
It's it's just
everpedia.com. It's ever, then IPEDIA.org. I mean, sorry, not .com, .org. Definitely go take a look at that and then start adding content because, yeah, the more content, the more credible.
Yeah. And, you know, with that, I think that's all we have today. Well, you know, if we might, we could always do a follow-up closer to your airdrop, you know, launch date if we want.
For sure. And, well, so you guys can talk. I'm happy to set you up with Sam and Kadar, the blockchain engineers.
Yeah, we'd love to talk to those guys and, you know, whoever else. We're just the same. You know, you guys are trying to put this stuff online in text. We're just trying to get people listening to it because I think that's the first key, is just getting people comfortable with it. So
exactly. Yeah, it's nice. Like, I love this technology, but it's always great to talk to somebody who's actually implementing it on a useful level. So thanks for coming by. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
All right, guys. And with that, we'll have a couple more episodes for you coming up this week. We have the CEO of Smart Trader coming on. And then we're going to do a podcast with the Oyster Protocol CMO on Tuesday, I think. Tuesday. Yep, Tuesday. So stick around and we'll probably do another Q video too, because you guys, we got a bunch of people saying they like to do follow-ups.
So nice. With that, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Peace.